Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's January the 6th. We are on page 384 in Parshas B'Shalach. And we have the Gemun is it hasn't actually fallen yet, but Hashem already introduced the Mun to Moshe Rabbeinu, and now Moshe is going to go back to the people to tell them about the Mun. We are up to Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Before we do that, I want to review with you the complaint the Jews had about the Mun, about food. The complaint the Jews had is on the previous page, in Pasuk Gimel, verse 3. They complained to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe and Aaron. And they say, Vayomru aleihem b'nei Yisrael, the Jews said to them, Mi'itein musenu v'yad Hashem b'eretz Mitzrayim, who will give our debts and at the hands of Hashem in the land of Egypt? B'shivtenu al-sir ha-basar, who would give that we should die at the hands of Hashem in the land of Egypt when we sat on the pot of meat? When we ate bread to satiation, for you took us out to this wilderness to kill this entire congregation in starvation. So they're complaining to Moshe and to Aaron. Now, the nature of the complaint is that you took us out of Egypt rather than let us die at the hands of Hashem. They're not saying that had we stayed in Egypt, we would have lived. But they're saying that we would have died at the hands of Hashem rather than what? Starvation.
Right.
Rather than starvation.
Right.
They're saying starvation is a circumstance that you created by taking us out of Egypt. Had you left us in Egypt, we would have died at the hands of Hashem. What does it mean to die at the hands of Hashem? Evidently not at the hands of the Egyptians, but whatever it is, out of harsh life, they would have died. But it wouldn't have been out of starvation. The way that it's worded sounds like the Jews are differentiating between Moshe and Aaron and Hashem. They're saying to Moshe and Aaron, who would give that we should die at the hands of Hashem in the land of Egypt when we sat on the pot of meat when we ate bread to satiation? For you, Moshe and Aaron, have taken us out to this wilderness to kill this entire congregation in starvation. So in addition to the fact that the Jews have complained about food, we talked about last time about the fact that the complaint was not yet warranted because they had just run out of food. It wasn't like they had been starving for several days. They had just run out of food. We compared last time this complaint to the complaint of the water, where they had no water for 3 days before they complained. So this complaint, we pointed out, was worse than the previous complaint. But besides that, we didn't speak about last time, is that the complaint here also seems to blame Moshe and Aaron. Now, the Jews could not have possibly believed that Moshe and Aaron took them out of Egypt and not Hashem. With all the various miracles that took place, clearly Hashem took them out of Egypt. But they're not complaining against Hashem. They're complaining against Moshe and Aaron. You took us out of Egypt. It's a little bit of a selective complaint because Moshe and Aaron are acting as the
messengers,
right, as the agents of Hashem. But nevertheless, they direct their complaint at Moshe and Aaron.
Are they questioning their leadership by doing this?
They don't say that. Now, this is something which people do. If you think about it, people will do this. That if they don't have the chutzpah to direct their complaint, their anger at the person who they really know is to blame, they will shift their attention to someone else. It's another person. I don't mean just a regular, just a scapegoat. What I mean to say is that it's almost like wearing blinders. It's that I know I can't complain to the boss, but I'm really upset at the boss, but I'll complain to the person the boss sent to give me the news that I want to hear.
Shoot the messenger.
Shoot the messenger. Right. So here, they have, it's actually, on the one hand, it's cowardly, but on the other hand, it does reflect a certain respect. They don't want to complain against Hashem, so they complain against Moshe and Aaron. Now, Moshe and Aaron, in their response, they're going to call the Jews on this issue. In Pesukim Daled and Hey, verses 4 and 5, which we read last week, Hashem tells Moshe that I'm going to bring food from heaven and it will test the Jews. But now, Moshe and Aaron, starting with Pesuk Vav, verse 6, need to go to the Jewish people to inform them about the man. Now let's read this very carefully. The next several verses, the Pesukim Vav through Yud Beis, 6 through 12, are not easy to understand. They read and translate very easily, but they seem to be redundant several times. So let's read it through first, all the way through, and then we'll note the difficulty in how we read these psukim. Vayomer Moshe va'aron al kol b'nei Yisrael. Moshe and Aaron said to all of the Jewish people. So this is where they're going now to report what Hashem had just told Moshe, that he's going to bring them man. So they say as follows. First of all, Erev, in the evening, Vidatem ki ani Hashem, Vidatem ki Hashem hotzi eschem eretz Mitzrayim. You'll know that Hashem took you out of Egypt. Uvoker, in the morning, Urisem es kevod Hashem, you'll see the honor of Hashem, B'shamo es tuno sechem al Hashem, when he hears your complaints on Hashem. V'nachnu ma, and what are we, ki salinu alenu, that you complain against us? So there is a little speech that Moshe and Aaron give all the people. Next thing. Vayomer Moshe. Now Moshe talks. Before it was Moshe and Aaron, now it's just Moshe. B'seis Hashem lachem bo'erev basar le'echol, when Hashem gives you in the evening meat to eat, v'lechem baboke lispoa, and bread in the morning to satiate yourself, b'shmoa Hashem etzlino seichem, and Hashem hears your complaints, Ashratem malinim alav, that you are complaining against him. V'nachnu ma, who are we? Lo aleinu slono sechem, your complaints are not on us. Ki al Hashem, rather they are on Hashem. Okay, that's two. Third statement. Vayomer Moshe al Aaron. Moshe says to Aaron, Emor el kol adas bnei Yisrael, say to all the congregation of the Jewish people, Kirvu lifnei Hashem, come close before Hashem. Ki shama eis tlino sechem, for he has heard your complaints. Vayihi kedaber Aaron al kol adas bnei Yisrael. It was when Aaron spoke to all the congregation of the Jewish people. Vayifnu el amidbar, they turned towards the wilderness. Vine kvod Hashem nira be'anan, and behold, the honor of Hashem was seen or appeared in a cloud. Fourth statement. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe lemar, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, which means tell the Jews, Shamati es tlunos bnei Yisrael, I heard the complaints of the Jewish people. Daber alehem lemar, speak to them saying, Bein harabayim tolchul vasar, in the afternoon you will eat meat. Uvabok and tisbu lachem, in the morning you shall satisfy yourselves with bread. Vidatem, you will know, ki ani Hashem elokecha, that I am Hashem your God. So we have four separate statements, four separate speeches here. The first one is Moshe and Aaron speaking to the Jewish people. The second one is Moshe speaking to the Jewish people. The third is Moshe speaking to Aaron about what he should say to the Jewish people. And the fourth is Hashem speaking to Moshe about what he should say to the Jewish people. And all of them seem to be saying exactly the same thing. The gist of all of them is that you're going to get meat in the afternoon, you'll get bread in the morning, and Hashem is the one who took you out of Egypt, not us. Don't complain against us, complain against Hashem. So it's not easy to understand why we have four separate statements that all appear to be the same thing. Let's look through this one more time carefully now and point out a few more detailed problems. Starting again with Vav, with Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Vayomer Moshe v'Aaron el kol b'nei Yisrael. Moshe Aaron said to all the Jewish people, Erev, in the evening, Vidatem, you shall know, ki Hashem otzi eschem eretz Mitzrayim, that Hashem has taken you out of Egypt. No mention of what's going to happen in the evening, no mention of there being meat, no mention of there being mun, just that in the evening you shall know that Hashem took you out of Egypt. Uvoker, in the morning, Ulisem es kavod Hashem, you'll see the honor or the glory of Hashem. Bishamo es plunot sechem al Hashem, when he hears your complaints on Hashem. V'nachnu ma, what are we? Ki salinu aleinu, that you complain against us. Again, no mention here about meat, no mention here about mun. Just in the morning, you will see the glory of Hashem when he listens to your complaints on Hashem. And what are we that you complain against us?
Sounds like he's putting the fear of God into them.
Okay.
And why does that one word not have nikudot?
The word salinu?
Alone.
Yeah, because it's a krinic siv. It's spelled one way and read a different way. It's spelled with a vav, talonu or talunu, and it's read salinu with a yud. That's why it doesn't have the nekudos. It's just an indication to read it in the margin on the right side. See the small letters?
Oh yeah.
That's all. Fine. So this first, we'll call it speech, which is Moshe and Aaron speaking to the Jewish people, is actually kind of general. It's not really very specific about what's going to happen. It's just some sort of general statement about how in the evening you'll know God took you out of Egypt. In the morning you'll see the glory of God when he hears your complaints against Hashem. And what are we that you complain against us? But very little detail about what's actually going to happen. That's speech number one. Speech number two, Pasuk Ches, verse 8. Vayomer Moshe says. Now it doesn't say who he's talking to, but from the fact that he says, from what he says, you can tell he's talking to the Jewish people. B'seis Hashem lachem bo'erev basar la'akol. When Hashem gives you in the evening meat to eat, v'lechem baboker lispoa, and bread in the morning to satiate. B'shmoa Hashem etzlonosechem, when Hashem hears your complaints. Asheratem malinim alav, that you are complaining against him. V'nachnu ma, what are we? Lo aleinu slonosechem, your complaints are not against us. Ki al Hashem, for they are in Hashem. So here Moshe makes his statement a little bit more clear, because he mentions meat, and he mentions bread, but everything else seems to be just a repeat of the previous pasuk. More than that, there really is a grammatical issue over here, because it doesn't finish the sentence. The sentence, I'll say it in English. Listen carefully to how I say it in English. This is meant to be a complete sentence. When Hashem gives you meat in the evening to eat, and bread in the morning to satiate, when Hashem hears your complaints that you are complaining against him, yeah, then what? Mm-hmm. He never finishes the sentence. Right. Then he says, and what are we? Your complaints are not on us, they're on Hashem. So where's the end of the sentence? When Hashem gives you meat, when Hashem gives you bread, yeah, he never finishes the sentence. So what is he trying to say over here to the Jewish people? He does add a little more detail. He adds the meat, he adds the bread, but everything else seems to be just a repeat of before, and it doesn't seem to be a sentence that makes sense. If you look in the English, you can see it that way as well.
Mm-hmm.
When in the evening Hashem gives you meat to eat and bread to satiety in the morning, as Hashem hears your complaints that you complain against him, yeah, Finish the sentence. There is no finish. For what are we? Not against us are your complaints, but against Hashem. So it's a very difficult sentence. Now let's read on.
You took "for what are we" out of it.
Even if you took that out. When in the evening Hashem gives you meat to eat and bread to satiety in the morning, as Hashem hears your complaints that you complain against Him, not against us are your complaints, but against Hashem. That's not when Hashem does that. Your complaints are inherently against Hashem, not against us. It seems like He's going to be finishing with something that's going to happen tomorrow. When Hashem, then what? Now, let's just finish the thought here first. Third statement, Pasuk Tes, verse 9, Vayomer Moshe el Aharon, Moshe says to Aharon, say to all the congregation of the Jewish people, come close to Hashem, for He has heard your complaints. Okay? I mean, that was said a couple times already. Okay? Aharon dutifully did what Moshe said, and the Jews turn towards the wilderness, and behold, there's the glory of Hashem in a cloud. And Pasuk Yud Aleph 11, Hashem says to Moshe, saying, I have heard the complaints of the Jewish people. So now Moshe is supposed to tell this to the Jewish people. Speak to them, saying, in the afternoon you will eat meat, and in the morning you will eat bread. Didn't Moshe already say that?
Yeah.
And you will know that I am Hashem your God.
So backwards.
The whole thing seems backwards.
Yeah,
so we're going to have an approach over here that will mean that there's some sort of a progression going on over here. So we human beings don't like to take the blame. We always like to shift the blame to others,
mm-hmm.
or to other circumstances. We don't like to blame ourselves. Because if you blame yourself, then your only choice in how to correct the situation is to correct yourself. And no one wants to do that. If I'm the one who made the problem, if I made the mess, then I need to clean it up. If I didn't make the mess, then I don't need to clean it up. Someone else needs to clean it up. So I don't want to take the blame for the mess. I'd rather pass the blame to someone else. Now, if I am a God-fearing person, so God is in charge of everything. So if it wasn't me who did it, then who did it? So I really have two choices, only two choices. Either God did it, or another human being did it. Because if only human beings have free will, and nothing else has free will, animals don't have free will, angels don't have free will, the weather doesn't have free will, so the only thing that has free will in this world are people and Hashem. So the only ones that can be blamed are people or Hashem. And there's only three types of entities to blame. There is me, there is Hashem, and there's other people. Right? Those are your three choices. If it was a person that did it, it's either me who did it or other people that did it. And if it wasn't me and it wasn't other people, then it was circumstances. Well, circumstances is Hashem. Because who makes the circumstances? Hashem. Unless I created the circumstances because of my actions, either directly or indirectly, or other people created the circumstances through their actions. So those are my three choices. The Jewish people here were looking to blame. They didn't blame themselves. And the truth is, that there isn't reason for them to blame themselves. They didn't do anything wrong. They left Egypt. Remember we said last time, Hashem took them out. Hashem tells them, I will take care of you. And now there's no food. They didn't do any sin to lose the food. It's not like they did something wrong that they should have the food taken away from them. So it wasn't their fault. So now, who is to blame?
Was it kvetching?
So they did kvetch, but they didn't. The kvetching wasn't the reason to lose the bread.
No.
So what was the? So now their choices are: we're either going to blame other people, or we're going to blame Hashem. Now, who are the other people to blame? So, is the Moshe and Aaron are the other two people to blame. Because they took us out of Egypt.
Right.
So they can be the ones to blame. Or Hashem. Or we'll blame Hashem. Those are our two choices. Now, the truth is, who was to blame?
They themselves. They had animals. They could have shechted the animals.
No, we talked about it last time. That wouldn't have sustained them for a long enough time.
Okay.
Because they should have told them that right before they ran out of food, they should have told them that they were going to get the food.
Okay, well,
it has to be one or the other guy.
Moshe didn't know yet that they were going to get the food. I mean, you know.
Well, Hashem said he would take care of them, so maybe they could reassure them that they would be taken care of.
Okay, but, Doreen, what do you say?
God.
Okay, God is to blame. He didn't give them food. The food ran out, and he didn't give them food. And it wasn't their problem to find food in the middle of the wilderness. God said, go out to the wilderness. Don't worry, I'll take care of you. There's no Walmarts on the way to go buy food. There's no food. Just go. Don't worry about it. And the Jews said, fine, we're going. They went. They ran out of food. There's no food. So Hashem is to blame. He did it. Now, that doesn't mean that when you say to blame, doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. Hashem deliberately took away their food because he wanted to test them, and he wanted to set them up in a way that would make a different type of relationship between him and them. But they were correct that Hashem was to blame. But they didn't want to complain against Hashem, even though Hashem was to blame. Why not? Why don't they want to just say, Hashem, why'd you do this to us? So if I didn't do anything wrong, if I know for a fact I did nothing to deserve this. Now, most of the time when things happen to us that are unfortunately bad, very few of us can get up and say, we are so pure and perfect that we didn't do anything wrong to deserve anything. It's very hard to say that. But let's say it's true. I didn't do anything wrong. And Hashem took away the food. So he did it to me, but I didn't do anything wrong. So why did he do it to me if I didn't do anything wrong? So that leaves me with really two choices. Either Hashem is mean and he's unjust and he does things for no reason. That's one choice. And we know that's not true. The Torah says that Hashem is perfectly just. So it's not that. So then what would only be the only other reason why you would do it to me if I didn't deserve it? I didn't do anything wrong. It must be
somebody else deserved.
No. It must be that Hashem wants me to do something more. Even though I didn't do anything bad, I didn't do anything wrong, I didn't do anything to be punished for it, but not every negative circumstance is a punishment. It could be that it is a test. It could be that it is a way of getting me to be even better than I already am. So that I just want to live my life in a simple, uncomplicated, quiet, serene way. Hashem, what's that?
Coast.
That's right. I'll be a good Jew, and I'll do what I'm supposed to do, and just let me have the simple pleasures of life, and I'll just move along in that manner. And for some reason, that never works. Hashem isn't interested in people just coasting through life. Hashem is interested in getting us to sweat a little bit, to put in effort, to improve, and to improve, and to improve, even if we've done nothing wrong. But Hashem wants us to do more and improve and do better, because ultimately that's going to earn us the best keep in the next world. That's going to bring us closest to Hashem. He's not interested in just getting by. He's interested in us working and really sweating it out and putting in effort and toil. That's what he wants. We don't like that. We are inherently lazy. We like to kick back. We like to have a nice, peaceful life. We don't want to have bumps in the road. It's not that we're interested. So here, Hashem takes the food away from the Jewish people. Why? He says in the previous verses, he says, because I want to test them. I want to get them to sweat a little bit. I want them to work a little bit. I want them not work with their hands. I want them to work with their emunah, with their faith, with their intellect. I want them to, right, their patience, exactly. I want them to work a little bit. The Jews don't want that. So now, Hashem is doing it to them, and that's not a punishment. So why is he doing it? Because he wants them to work harder. They don't want to accept that. So, it wasn't our fault. If we say it's Hashem's fault, that means we're going to have to work harder. We're not interested in working harder. So, we have to shift the blame. Who's left? Moshe and Aaron. So let's blame Moshe and Aaron. I don't mean to say that they went through this in this such a calculated manner. But I'm saying this is the psychology that goes on when a person doesn't want to accept the fact that there is a consequence to blaming Hashem. If you blame Hashem, and Hashem is a just God, and I didn't do anything wrong, the only conclusion is he wants me to work harder. I don't want to work harder. So I don't want to blame Hashem. So I shift the blame and blame Moshe and Aaron. So in Moshe and Aaron's response to the Jewish people, part of their response, or maybe even the main part of their response, is to point out to the Jewish people that don't get us involved. This is Hashem and you. And don't get us involved. It's not about us. We're nothing. We're just the go-betweens. We're v'nachnu ma. What are we? We're just the go-betweens. This is between you and God. You may not like it. You don't want to accept the fact that he wants you to work harder, but that's the way it is. God doesn't want us to coast. So now let's go through a little bit more carefully exactly what happens over here. First, Moshe and Aaron say to the Jewish people, number one, forget about the food. You complained about food, but really, your complaint was deeper than that. Your complaint was, we don't want to work harder. We're not interested. We just want to coast. That's really what you complained about. So, first of all, in the evening, you will know... I'm sorry, did I skip? I didn't skip. In the evening, you will know that Hashem took you out of Egypt. Rashi explains that you're going to, in the evening, you will see that Hashem can take care of you. You said to us that, where's the food, Moshe and Aaron? Hey, we didn't take you out of Egypt. You said, we took you out of Egypt, and we should have left you there so you could die at the hands of God instead of at the hands of starvation. Wait, this isn't us. This is Hashem. Hashem took you out of Egypt. Don't get us involved. Number one, Hashem took you out of Egypt. You're going to see that in the evening, because in the evening the meat is going to be provided. And that meat will be in a not a miraculous way, but in an abundant way, in a way that will show that Hashem is taking care of you. So don't get us involved. Hashem took you out of Egypt. In the morning, you're going to see more than that. You're going to see the glory of Hashem, which Rashi explains means the way the man fell. It fell in a very beautiful way. It was packaged nicely. It fell nicely. It was all very, very, very appetizing. And you're going to see the glory of Hashem when he listens to your complaints against Hashem. And what are we that you complain against us? We are nothing. We have nothing. We're just a go-between. Don't get us involved. This is you and Hashem. So the first statement that Moshe and Aaron make are general statements about the issue. You mixed us into this whole discussion. Let's stop that right now. We're stepping out of this. This has nothing to do with us. You're going to see in the evening that Hashem took you out. In the morning, you're going to see the glory of God Himself. Okay. Now, Moshe explains in greater detail what was just said. He and Aaron made that original statement just to lay down the law that, hey, don't get us involved over here. Now we're going to get more specific. All I said was that you're going to know that Hashem took you out of Egypt. You're going to see the glory of Hashem. What does that mean? Moshe says, okay, I'm going to explain now. So in Pasuk Ches, verse 8, Moshe says, when Hashem gives you meat in the evening. The reason why I read before that this sentence was it over, wasn't finished, is because I was reading it as the beginning of a sentence. When Hashem gives you meat in the evening and bread in the morning, yeah, then. But that's not the way to read the pasuk. The way to read the pasuk is, this is the end of the previous statement. I said before that you're going to see, you're going to know that Hashem took you out of Egypt. How will you see that? When Hashem gives you meat in the evening, that's when you will know that God took you out of Egypt.
Where's the beginning verse again? The beginning sentence in the first two, in
Vav and Zayin. Mm-hmm. Now he's explaining those two. He's explaining 6 and 7. 8 is explaining 6 and 7. I said before that you would know that Hashem took you out of Egypt. When will you know that? When Hashem gives you meat to eat in the evening. That's when you will know that Hashem took you out of Egypt. And when will you know, when will you see the glory of Hashem? When Hashem gives you bread to satiety in the morning. That's when you will then see the glory of Hashem. And all of this, when will you know that we have nothing to do with this? It's all about Hashem, not about us. When Hashem listens to your complaints, that you're complaining against Him. And again, what are we? Your complaints are not against us. They're against Hashem. You're mixing us in where we don't belong. So the Pasuk Ches, verse 8, is the explanation of Vav and Zayin of 6 and 7. It's still, you can ask the question, why do you need an explanation? Why couldn't Moshe have just said the whole thing out in the first place? Because he doesn't want to confuse the issue over here. The main issue is, you mixed us in. So he didn't even want to mention about the meat and the bread. First of all, let's just establish the facts. This is all about Hashem. Then he explains how the you're going to then see later on, tonight and tomorrow, you'll be able to see the glory of Hashem. That takes us through Pasuk Ches, verse 8. In Pasuk Ches, verse 9, Moshe then says to Aaron, tell the Jewish people that you need to gather before Hashem. Now, in the future, after they build the Mishkan, after they build the tabernacle, that will be the place that the Jews will gather when Moshe says, gather before Hashem. But here there isn't yet a tabernacle. There is no Mishkan. So evidently, there was an area that he indicated was the place where they should gather, that there they will then see the glory of Hashem. So Moshe says to Aaron, tell the Jewish people, gather before Hashem, for He has heard your complaints. And when Aaron gathered them together, then they turned towards the wilderness, and behold, the glory of Hashem was seen in a cloud. A cloud descended, and that was meant to represent the glory of Hashem.
That was in the evening of the cloud?
That was in the afternoon. Now, then Hashem says to Moshe, so that now the cloud is there, the cloud representing Hashem is there, and Hashem says to Moshe, I have heard the complaints of the Jewish people, speak to them, saying, in the afternoon you will eat meat. Now this is even more detailed than before. Before, all Moshe said was, you will know God took you out of Egypt. And when will you know God took you out of Egypt? When He gives you meat to eat in the evening. That's all. But there was no more detail than that. Here, Hashem is more specific. In the afternoon, which afternoon? This afternoon, today, you are going to eat meat. And that will, you're not just going to, I'm not just going to give you meat, you're going to eat it in the afternoon. And in the morning, you will be satiated with bread. I'm not just going to give you enough bread to satiate you, you're actually going to eat it. And you will know that I am Hashem, your God. So Hashem says, it's more than just, I'm going to give you meat and I'm going to give you bread. You're going to eat meat this afternoon, and you're going to eat bread in the morning, and then you will know that I am Hashem. So it's more than before. All Moshe said before is Hashem is going to give you meat and give you bread. How much meat is He going to give you? He's going to give you meat to eat, How much bread is he going to give you? He's going to give you bread until satiation, which is a lot more. But Hashem says, you will eat meat this afternoon, which is on the 15th of Iyar, and tomorrow morning you will eat bread. When that happens, you'll eat bread until you're satiated. When that happens, you will know that I am Hashem. So, clearly, there's something important about the eating, not just the giving of the meat and the bread, but something about the eating of the meat and the bread. So let me take your questions, then we'll handle this point. Yes?
I mean, nothing's an accident, right? But if hypothetically, if they hadn't gone through the argument part, God was going to give them these things anyway.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
So it happened this way for us to learn how we're supposed to.
Correct.
The other thing, what's the difference between, because I've had things happen, and my rabbi has said, and I told him, I'm angry with God, and he said, it's okay, God can take it. So, it's not anything I want to push, but.
Yeah, listen.
That's different than blaming, don't you think?
Yeah, well, I mean, in if you look at it completely intellectually, if you can remove all the emotion from it, then getting angry at God is irrational.
Because it's emotional.
Right? No, it's irrational because He created everything. He can do whatever He pleases. Getting angry implies that I have an entitlement, right? How dare you, right? But we're talking about God over here. He can do whatever He wants. I have no entitlements with God. I have no reason to exist other than the fact that He decided I should exist. Everything I owe everything to Him. So it's not rational to be angry with God. But we're human beings. We let our emotions get the better of us. And that's why we're not prophets, because we haven't yet controlled our emotions in that way. But so. I think what he means when he says to you that God can take it, he's saying that, look, you have a strong emotional reaction. We as human beings need to improve ourselves to the point where we won't react that way. But for the time being that we are still struggling with our emotions, God can take it. It doesn't hurt Him. As long as we're not being rebellious, and as long as we recognize that, hey, getting angry at God doesn't make sense, and I got to work on this, and I got to improve myself and make sure that it doesn't happen again. So Hashem recognizes we're human beings, and we have to, that's what life is about. Life is about struggling to improve ourselves. It is a privilege to have been brought into existence.
Sure.
Because without having been brought into existence, we cannot serve Hashem. And to serve Hashem is the greatest privilege that there is. We, in this world, because we are so involved with physicality, and our drives and our hopes and our dreams and that which we aspire to are all physical. They're all physical in some way or another. And that's what matters to us. So we get blinded by that, and we start to think that that's the reason for existence. But the real true privilege of existing is to be able to serve Hashem. And when we don't have when we're not shrouded with this facade of physicality, when that's removed, then it becomes obvious. And having been brought into existence is the greatest privilege that one could have. So even if, God forbid, existence was one that was not pleasurable at all, and in fact was somewhat painful, it would still be a privilege to be able to serve Hashem. That in itself is a privilege. But Hashem doesn't do that. Hashem gives us an existence which not only gives us the privilege of serving Him, but it even involves this pleasure. There is pain, but ultimately the pleasure is much greater than the pain, assuming that we serve Him. Because in the next world, the pleasure is immeasurable. So so it's true that we didn't ask to be brought into existence. But even so, he doesn't owe us anything. There's no entitlements over here. So what is the major point over here about eating the meat and the bread versus just getting the meat and the bread? When Moshe talked about Hashem giving us the meat and the bread, So he was going to give us a certain amount of meat. Moshe says, it's going to be unbelievable. You're going to know that Hashem took you out of Egypt because he's going to give you meat. And then you're going to see the glory of God because he's going to give you bread to satiation. So, first of all, that focuses on the amount. That the meat is not going to be the satiation. There's going to be a lot of meat. You'll be able to eat it. But it's not going to be enough to make you satiated. You're not going to go to sleep saying, oh, I can't eat another bite. You're not going to go to sleep like that. You're not going to go to sleep hungry. You're not going to go to sleep hungry. You're afraid you're going to go to sleep hungry. Your kids are going to be complaining, what do we have to eat? You'll have what to eat. You're not going to go to sleep hungry. But you're not going to go to sleep patting your stomach and saying, oh, that was a great meal. Right? It's not going to be like that. Okay. But then the next morning, then Moshe says, you're going to get bread to satiation.
Actual bread?
Well, the bread is going to be the man. This is bread. Okay. But you're going to get, Hashem himself calls it bread. He says bread from the heavens.
No. Okay. Right?
You're going to get bread to satiation. So you're going to have so much that you'll be completely satisfied. Okay. But Moshe only talks about that Hashem is going to give it to you. Hashem says you're going to eat it. And when you eat it, then you'll know that I'm God. What is the emphasis on the eating? So here we have to remind ourselves of the contrast between eating regular food and eating man. There is nothing like eating man. Eating man was an experience that transcended regular eating. Regular eating is a physical experience. You put the food in your mouth. It tastes good. You chew it up. You might enjoy not just the taste, but the texture of the food. Perhaps the temperature of the food, whether it's a cold food or a hot food. All of that is the experience. Even what it looks like when it's served or when you eat it. All of this is the experience of the food. And then you swallow it, and there is the enjoyment of the food actually entering your body. You can feel it going down. And then there is the sense of fulfillment when the stomach gets full. Right? There's all of that is all part of the eating experience. It's all physical. It's a very physical experience. Eating is an extremely physical experience. We do it all the time. We have to do it in order to survive. But it's a very physical experience. Eating, even when it's chalent. But eating man did take care of the physical need to eat. It satiated. And it also tasted good. In fact, you could make it taste whatever you wanted to. So that's really good. But it was more than that. It became a spiritual experience. The man was a food that was from heaven that connected a person to heaven. As the Gemara says, I mentioned this last time, Lo nitna Torah, the Torah wasn't given, Ela la'ochle ha-man, only to those who ate man. Evidently, eating man was a prerequisite to receiving the Torah. To have that experience of Har Sinai and that closeness to Hashem, we had to be eating man. It was an eating experience like no other. And it satiated, but it was more than that. You know that when we eat to satiation, I don't know about all of you, but you sit down to a meal that is mediocre, it's not such a good meal, you eat it, you finish it, you may be physically full, but you don't feel good. You don't have that, right? You walk away feeling a little empty. It's not that your stomach is full. You're not hungry anymore. But you don't walk away from the meal feeling like that was, there's something missing. You have a really, really good meal. It's the kind of food you really like, whatever it is, you name it. That food, which at that moment is the food that you crave the most in the whole world, and you love it. And it's made to perfection. It's perfect. It's great. And you eat it. And you eat it. And you eat it. And one of two things happens. Either you finish the food and there is more, and there isn't more, and you want more, so you walk away feeling I wanted more. come on, there's never enough ice cream.
Right?
Right? There's never enough. You can eat the whole quart, right, but it's just not enough. There's right? Right? That's one possibility. Or you eat too much of it, you finally get enough of it, and now I'm sick of it. I don't want any more ice cream. I go, right? And you're feeling sick. You never walk away from a meal feeling perfect. There's always something. Either the food wasn't so good, or there wasn't enough of the good, or there was too much of the good, and I couldn't control myself and I ate more than I should have, and I'm feeling, right? It's one of those, that's the way we human beings are. We're so weak when it comes to food. We really are. You can be the best dieter in the world, but we're all weak when it comes to food. The mun had none of those problems. The mun, there was plenty of it, meaning not plenty to eat, not as much as you, but there was as much as you needed. It tasted great, and you walked away feeling good, not feeling bloated, not feeling like there wasn't enough, not feeling like it wasn't a good meal. You walked away feeling perfect, because it wasn't only a physical experience. The reason why we always walk away from a meal without that feeling of perfection is because it's a purely physical experience. And anything which is purely physical cannot really satiate, because we are not purely physical beings, because we have a soul. And when we eat in a way that is purely physical, our physical bodies may be enjoying it, but our spiritual bodies, our spiritual selves, are still missing something. The mun had for each part of our bodies. It took care of the physical, and it took care of the spiritual. And a person walked away from a mun meal, that's it. It's great. Perfect. Until tomorrow, I'm good.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.